But anyways, here we are in the Lord's presence, and I'd like to look at John chapter 14 and verse 15, a very familiar passage of Scripture, or at least it ought to be. And I want to, this morning, the title of my message is A Meditation on Love. A Meditation on Love. And so, not a full-fledged message, as we might say, but a meditation this morning. Given the nature of our service, that we're more of a small group than anything this morning, so we'll look at it that way. How's that? And looking at verse 15, where Jesus is speaking, and he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You see it there? If you love me, you will obey what I command. Just pray with me for a moment. And so, Lord, as we look into your word this morning and say some things, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would come and help us as we look into your word, that we would be nurtured, fed this morning by these words, by this word that you've put on my heart. We are your sheep, and we believe that you are the good shepherd. And so, Lord, come this morning and intend to those needs that you see we have in our lives, even by this word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I was looking for love when I was a young person. And I remember, in fact, you know, when I was liking this one girl in high school. It was just before I got saved. It was during those days that when there was a lot of turmoil in my own life and I was, you know, feeling upended in so many ways and felt really empty in my own soul. And it was God's way of putting me on the track of looking for him. But I remember having this conversation with a girl that I was starting to like and saying to her, and genuinely meaning it, you know, I wasn't a predator, really meaning it, saying, you know, boy, I really want to know what it means to love and to find love and to love you and to experience. And I, expressing myself, in a way in which, in giving voice to something that I was feeling, and, you know, at that time in my life, something really deep within me that I was really looking for love. And looking for something to satisfy my life more than anything that I had been experiencing before. And I felt like it was love that could really do it. Love. I was looking for love. And no one understands love more than God. In fact, when we speak about God and we come to understand who he is, we are told that God is what? He is love. God is love. And so as we think about this whole idea of a meditation on love, as we think about love, in a particular, what I want to think about is love and obedience. Love and obedience. That you know, you really can't hit the mark unless you know God. And that's the way it was for me. You know, and expressing, I mean, that relationship with that girl, you know, from what I remember, didn't last very long. And she couldn't do, you know, fill that emptiness of really wanting love in my life like I thought she might. And so off she goes and off I went and whatever. But it wasn't long after that I came to Christ. Probably within a matter of months after that I found Christ. And also, we have to add to that this. When we talk about love, we talk about loving God, we talk about loving anyone. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, John, who is known as the beloved disciple, when you read the Gospel of John, when you read his books in the New Testament, John talks about love a lot. In fact, it is he who says to us that God is love. John gave us John 3:16, right? For God so what? Loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And so when you look at that verse in 4:19, we see that it is God who initiates love. In other words, as he says there, that we love because God first loved me. That he so touched my life that I have been provoked, that I am provoked to love, that I am provoked to love him back. It's the sort of thing when somebody does something really nice for you, you know, and you feel this response in you, whether it's of gratitude or wanting to return the favor, right? That you, and maybe your admiration for the other person grows because of the kindness that they were shown to you, whether it's, you know, on the street, somebody lets you in when, you know, a whole, you know, bumper-to-bumper traffic, and it's like, oh, you know, thank you so much. And there's this gratitude, or whether you're at the DMV, and instead of waiting for, you know, for 3.5-4 days in line, so they finally get to you, somebody shows favor on you and, you know, lets you, tends right to you. And so, and that's the sort of thing what it is, what this verse of Scripture is saying in 1 John 4, where he's saying that we love, we know about love because the great initiator of love, he touches us. And we see, in fact, he says to us in Romans chapter 5, he says that God has shown his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, you know, it's like being, you know, it's like, you know, you ever say to someone, got to be careful here, but, you know, you know, you're so ugly, or you got, you know, only a mother could love you, you know, right? You know, we used to say that making fun of kids, right? And really, though, it's that kind of way that there's this ugliness in us because of sin. And yet, God still loves me because he's love. And he demonstrated that he does in that Jesus went to the cross for us, for me. He demonstrated his love for us. And that's the way, you know, love is an action word, right? Love is an action word. And we complicate it so much with, you know, I love everybody. You know, Donald Trump stands in front of, you know, an audience of people that he's never met before in his life. I love you so much. You're all so wonderful. Give me a break. And it's not only him who says that, you know, we even say, you know, I love you so much. And it's like, well, really? You know, no, love demonstrates itself. Love shows itself on a very personal and intimate level, right? And so God did that for us. And so, you know, I was looking for love. And I found it when I found Christ. There's something very satisfying that came into my life. And because I felt that, I wanted in return to demonstrate love back to God and back to other people. It was like, wow, this is really cool. This is a high no drug has given me before. And I mean, that's the way I really felt. And it was the high of his love. And at the same time that I say that in our little meditation on love, we have to include the next premise, if you will, in that equation of, you know, we're looking for love. And it's found in God. And that is this, that God also is looking for love from me. He is looking for love from you. He is looking for love from his creation. God is looking for love. And so when we think about his creative purpose, and have you ever asked, you know, the question of why? And we get bogged down way, you know, way too much in talking about how, the how of creation. And I think we have to consider that, the how of creation. And we start pitting evolution against creation, and then we start talking about all the other kinds of things. If you are a creationist, you know, 7 days versus seven periods, and you know, literal versus, you know, figurative, all this stuff. And wonderful. I think those are things that we have to grapple with. But why? Now, why did God create? Did he have a need that he had to do what he did by creating? And if we say he had a need, well, that suggests that God is needy. And how can he be God if he is needy? Because now he is not self-sufficient having a need. And we can go on like that. And this is a meditation on love, not on theology, so we'll stop right there. But to say why, you know, what was his creative purpose? And I think very simply we could be is that God enjoys sharing his love. He enjoys sharing his love. And, you know, but you say, boy, that's really simple. You know, really? Yes, his creative purpose was his love. And love enjoys sharing itself in love. And when I think about his redemptive purpose, you know, we already said it, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. That in his redemption, and it was for the, what was the purpose of his redemption? For love's sake. For love's sake. And we've all heard it said, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross, but it was what? His great love for you and me. You know, Jesus even said, listen, I can send thousands of angels right now to take care of this situation and me never have to go to suffer this kind of degradation. Easily, he said, I'm God. But for love's sake, he did what he did. We understand that in redemption. And in that, he has deposited his Holy Spirit in our lives. To think of it, you know, when you say, well, how close is God? You know, did you ever feel like God is just so far away that he's absent? Well, try this on for size. God is so close that he has decided to take up residence inside of me by his Holy Spirit. Now, you can't get any closer than that. You just can't. And this is what he has said to us in Romans chapter 5, that his love has been manifested, declared within our lives by the Holy Spirit who has been put into our hearts. God has taken up residence within, you know, my body is considered to be a church. My body is a church, and his presence is here in this church. God, boy, you can't get any closer than that. And so in all of that is for love's sake. For love's sake. Creation was for love's sake. Jesus was for love's sake. And that God is with me, it's for love's sake. It's very personal with God. Very personal. And you've heard me say it, you know, if once 100 times, you know, God never says, hey, when he speaks to me. Never. He always says, Bob. Now, he may say it in different tones depending upon my behavior, you know, or with different expressions on his face. And usually it's bewilderment. Bob? You know, it's like, Bob, you know. But it's impossible for love's sake. And that's just a wonderful thing. And then here's the cincher that we end it with. We love God when we obey him. We love God when we obey him. We show our love for God in that we do what he says. Even as it says here, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You will obey what I command. So that, you know, I think about this in the context of my relationships with people that I love. Okay? Now, in my context of people that I love, my family, of course, my wife, and so on, that, you know, I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to hurt my wife because I love her. Now, it does happen, you know, I mean, she deserves it sometimes, but she's not here, you know. No, you understand. I mean, we are flawed at best. God is so much different than this, but those that we love, no, we are, you know, you think of your children, raising your children, because you love them, you want what's what? Best for them, right? And what is that motivated by? The motivation behind that is the relationship of love that you have with your children. There have been situations that my children have been in, that my wife has been in, and I have said, I wish I could be in their place. Feeling that for them, going through that for them, so that they wouldn't go through that themselves. And is not this the love that God demonstrated for us? That God never, ever said, I wish I could do it. without backing it up by actually doing it, because Jesus took our what? Place. You see? He took our place. And so it's motivated our so that my response to God in obedience is a response being motivated by, wow, you know, I love him so much. I want to do this for him. I want to do what he wants me to do because I love him. Once again, it's like a child who loves his parents, who loves her parents. And a child that loves their parents, again, these things get messy, they get complicated, but by and large, there is this thing in our kids that they want to please mom and dad. You know? And there is this thing within us that we want to please. If you love me, you'll do what I say. I want to do what God says. Now, do I always do it? Sometimes I miss by a mile. But one of the things that I have learned about God is this, that he appreciates the thought. He really does. He appreciates the desire, even though I miss the mark. Because he knows what's going on in my life. He knows who I am. He knows what I am, you see? And so, but at the same time, there has to come this settling in among us that what we're about in our relationship with God, when we come to his word, it's not merely to read the words off the pages and to walk away and feel, wow, you know, I've gotten this little bit of an intellectual jolt. Boy, I didn't understand that before. I see something now. Or some kind of emotional lift of encouragement because of the promise in the word that I feel right now. But I have to, when I come to this word, see that first and foremost, I'm coming to this word so that I can take what I receive here and obey it and do it and put it into practice. And sometimes we forget that, because who likes to talk about obey, O-B-E-Y? To us, it's a four-letter word. But obey, to obey God. And so my motivation is love, in that I obey him. And this is how we'll end, right on mark. In Genesis chapter, 29. Genesis 29, about the middle of the chapter. There is the story of Jacob meeting up with his father-in-law, or his soon-to-be father-in-law, Laban. And Laban has a daughter that Jacob met and has eyes for. And the Bible explains Rachel as being very beautiful and a woman of good form, if you understand. It actually says that. And so Jacob, meeting her, immediately falls in love with Rachel, head over heels in love. And so, as the custom was in those days, Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, and he strikes up an agreement with his father-in-law and says, hey, I'll work for you for 7 years. 7 years, and the deal is that I'm able to marry your daughter, Rachel. So it's like a dowry, you know, a gift given in exchange for being able to marry this gal that he's become head over heels in love for. And there's one verse there that I want you to see and circle it in your Bibles, because it has to do with what we're talking about here, how love is the motivation for me in my response to obeying God. Look at what it says in verse 19. It says, Laban said, it is better that I give Rachel to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob, look at what it says. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days because of his love for her. Because of his love for her. It seemed like what? Only a few days. 7 years seemed like a few days. Now, you think right now, from now to 7 years from now, you know, 7, 6, what's that, 20, 20, 23, 24. You know, well, you know, yeah, in a few days it'll be 2024. It's like, you know. And it says they only said like a few days. Why? Because he was so head over heels, Google-eyed, as we say, in love with this gal, that it seemed like 7 years went by like that for the love that he had for her. And so to say that as we grow, you see, my concentration isn't, I got to obey God, I got to obey God, I got to obey God. You understand? My concentration, my relationship with God is not, well, I got the Ten Commandments pinned up all around my house. See? So that I'm constantly reminded by what I have to do and what I shouldn't do. See, I got the Ten Commandments there. No. The concentration, the focus of my relationship is, I love God. I got to grow. And it's the same thing in my relationship with my wife. You know, rarely ever does the thought of, boy, I got to be faithful to my wife come up in my relationship. Why? I love her. I love her too much to be unfaithful to her. You understand? I love her too much. And, you know, it's like, you know, the other day, you know, I don't know, it's like, you know, she's there and it's like she's doing her devotions and she wants hot tea and she says something about, oh, I got to get my tea, you know, with that kind of, would you get my tea for me? And I said, you know, and I said, you know, I'm just here. I'm just here to serve you. I'm just here to wait on you. That's all. I said that to her. And I say that to her a lot when that kind of stuff comes up. And my wife is a typical Yankee woman. I mean, she's independent. You don't have to wait on her. She finds her own way. She's just Northern Maine, independent woman. Just, I don't know, Mike, you're laughing. You know what I mean, right? You know? But there are those times, you know, where it's like, Sandra, I don't know. And me, on the other hand, I need Dr. Marvin. I need, you know, what about Bob? And... But be that as it may, the point is here, the emphasis is, as he says here, he loved her so much that the 7 years went by like that. And so it is what God asks of us, you know, what he asks of us. And we read this word and when we live from it, oh, this is how I need to order my life. This is what God wants me to do. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to us to put our lives in line with obeying him, and obeying his word, obeying what he says to us, that the emphasis isn't so much on, oh, I got to obey God. Oh, if I fall short of my obedience, it's a signal to me that there's a weakness in my love for God. You see? There's a weakness in my love. And so, Lord, strengthen my love for you. Let's stand together.